Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of men behaving godly. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the rich and beautiful presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, now as we come today to minister your word, I ask for the divine enablement of the Holy Spirit to preach it and teach it in a way that it would be clear to your people and that it would bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord God, today I pray it'll be a transforming day, particularly for men in this congregation. I pray, Lord, that today that your Holy Spirit would move all of us men to be godly in Christ Jesus. And that, Lord, we would take a stand for our families, for our nation in Christ. And, Lord, that will bring revival and healing to this nation like nothing else could ever do. And, Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory today for the privilege of being in your house, hearing your word. Have your way in us and through us today. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I think we've all heard recently of the show called Men Behaving Badly. Due to Charlie Sheen being so much in the public eye, and as I understand it, he's the leading character on that show. I've never watched it. I've just seen a few excerpts from it. But like most of the media today, it tries to portray manhood as being a beer-swilling, womanizing, foul-mouthed rogue. That is the image that most of the TV shows put across of what a man should be. At least that's the characterization that's put forth. The world tells us as men to be your own man, be a self-made man. Well, I submit to you today there's no such thing. God made us. We can't remake ourselves. Only God can do that. To be sure, you can obtain what the world would deem a success. You can achieve power, position, profit, and pleasure. All that is what the world deems for a man to be successful. But God has a very different standard of defining what success is for a man. And as men and fathers, we are called by God to be the high priests of our homes. The greatest calling you have as a man is to live godly in front of your family. Because this word that we read this morning tells us in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man. Fathers, we need to know as we go, so goes pretty much our entire family. Because God called us and appointed us to be the spiritual high priests and leaders of our families. And when you get blessed by God for leading your family in a godly fashion, that blessing is going to flow down on into your wife and into your children. That's how powerful a position we have as men, and there is no greater position. You may not ever become a Wall Street mogul. You may not ever become a high-ranking politician with a lot of power. You may never become a star athlete, but I want to submit to you what God says is important is that we live godly in Christ Jesus in front of our families, and there is no higher work nor higher calling for us as men. I read an interesting statistic this week as I was preparing for this message, and this is shocking. 70% of all crimes committed, or 70% of all criminals last year, had one statistic in common. None of them had a father that was at home. 70%. Think of that. And when you consider what is being put out through the media of what manhood is, it's sickening. It's sickening. Men are living far below their standard. When we fell, when mankind fell in the Garden of Eden, and I want to submit to you this morning, it was ultimately Adam's fault. Eve usually gets the blame for it. It was ultimately Adam's fault. God told Adam to dress and keep that garden. And if you study in the Hebrew text what was really meant, Adam was to prevent anything unrighteous or unholy from entering that garden. He had the dominion and he had the power to do so. So that at some point in time, he let down his guard to even let Satan into that area, because he had total dominion over the entire planet. God gave it to him at that point in time. It was Adam's fault. Adam laid down on the job and didn't stand in his holy and righteous calling. That's why our nation is in the shape it's in today. It's not the fault of politicians or the stock market or even a bad president. It's the church's fault. It's individual men's fault, because they have not chosen to live godly in Christ Jesus. Because let me tell you something. As the church on the corner goes, so goes the entire nation. And with this gospel of Jesus Christ being forsaken, as it has in many churches, there is no living godly outside of faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. You can attend church every week. You can be a church leader. But outside of faith in Christ and what he did at the cross, that's godliness. That's the only way we can become godly men. And when we put our faith in Christ and what he did for us at the cross and keep it there, the Holy Spirit will transform us into the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will make us. Let me say it this way. Through our own human efforts, we cannot become what God wants us to be. It is impossible. But through faith in Jesus Christ and the effective working power of the Holy Spirit upon us, we can become everything he wants us to be. Hallelujah. But that's the only way it can happen. I heard a statement by Alan Keyes, who's a commentator and was considering a run for president. He said, the greatest problem in the United States of America is that our families are falling apart. And he's right. And he said, fix the family and you'll fix this nation. And I agree with him wholeheartedly on that, but we need to take that really one step further. You fix the faith of the families and this nation will get right. Because faith misplaced is of no value whatsoever, no matter how great it may be. If that faith is in a church, if that faith is in a program, if that faith is in anything other than Christ and him crucified, it will not produce the godly living and the godly man that God wants us to become. But when that faith is placed there, my Lord, the power that spoke these planets into being goes to work on our lives. And I'm here to tell you, I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen in many of your lives. I've seen it happen in too many lives. Alcoholics can be transformed in a moment's time. Fathers who are womanizing can be transformed in a moment's time. If they'll place their faith exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, the power of the Holy Ghost will transform that heart and life. And that's the only hope there is. There is no other hope. I was watching the other night a documentary on the Manson family, and many of you here are young. Maybe you don't remember much about Charles Manson, but he was the ringleader of a hideous gang of murders that took place in Los Angeles in 1969. Killed a young actress and her friends, Sharon Tate, and killed Rosemary and Lino LaBianco, owner of a supermarket chain there in L.A., viciously walked in and killed him because he wanted to start a race riot. He was a twisted, sick individual. But in interviewing him, they asked him, they said, how did you get these seemingly normal young people? How did you transform them to commit these hideous acts for you? Because he commanded them to go commit murders, and they went out and did it. Viciously so. Hideously so. And he said, I learned one thing when trying to recruit members to be in my cult. He said, particularly with the women and to a large degree with the men, I looked for one thing. Women who had no father, or who had a father that had abandoned them, and the same in the men. Because he said that leaves such a gaping hole in their spirit, longing to be filled by someone. And he said, I tried to become their father figure. And that's how I got them to do what I wanted them to do. That's sad, isn't it? And when you consider that statistic I gave you earlier, that over 70% of the crimes committed were committed by men and women who had no father. Now, I want to submit this to you right now, and I'm talking about the power of God. I had no father till the time I was 12 years old. My father died 2 months before I was born. But this Bible says, because my mother took me to church and taught me faith, this Bible says, God is a father to the fatherless. God is a father to the fatherless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when fathers abdicate their rightful place as high priests and shirk their responsibilities as to become men of God, God will step in if that woman's faith is there, and he'll see that family gets raised right. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. But Manson sought out men and women who had no father. And in essence, I thought, isn't that the problem with all of us? We're born into sin, separated from our Father God. All of us have that gaping hole in our spirits due to lack of a relationship to our Father. But that's what Jesus Christ was all about. Hallelujah. Jesus came so he could make it possible for us to get adopted again by the Father. And not only adopted, but made as if we had never been separated. That's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why it cannot be overpreached. That's why from every pulpit in this land, every preacher ought to have one message. I don't care if it bores the congregation. If it bores the congregation, something's wrong with them. But the cross of Christ is the answer to every problem plaguing this nation. Go ahead, praise the Lord. The cross of Christ is the answer to every church problem. The cross of Christ is the answer to every family problem. And there is no other answer. And I know in its rudimentary form that sounds so simplistic. You may think, how is the cross? The cross, the cross. Because when Jesus bowed his head on that cross, it was who he was. Not the cross itself. It was who Jesus Christ was. The Son of God, who is sinless, born of a virgin, never committed sin in any capacity. And when he bowed his head at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Calvary's Hill and said, "It is finished," he meant everything mankind will ever need has been purchased by my sacrifice today. Blessed! Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now here it is. Here's where so many are deceived today in a performance-based mentality, because I'm going to make a bold statement here, but I know it to be true. Most churches no longer understand this book. I'll let that sink in. I'm going to let it marinate on you for a minute. Most churches no longer understand what biblical Christianity is. They'll offer you a 12-step program, or, you know, they come up with a fanciful little name for it, like Warriors of Zebulon or something like that for men, thinking that's going to transform. Oh, come and go through our 3-month Warriors of Zebulon. We're going to give you a sword, and we're going to wrap ourselves in all kind of biblical attire and shout east, north, west, and south, and my, what a glorious time it's going to be. Now, at the end of the 3-month Warrior of Zebulon program, you're still a warrior of Zebulon, and you haven't changed much at all. See, that's the problem. They're not walking godly. They're not living godly. Even in churches. I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about the world. Because you say, the pastor, what is living godly? How can we become godly? So many are trying to do it through works, like I said, by going through plans and programs and all kind of other things, and there's no transforming power in those. God will not honor them. Why? Because they do not have the cross at the center of them. And I know the Bible says that faith without works is dead, but listen to me for just a moment. Works will never produce faith, but faith always produces works. There's a big difference between works produced for faith and works produced by faith. Big difference between all of that. Major, I don't have time to go into it right now. But that's where most of the church is in that kind of thinking, and that if we just work hard enough, God will be happy with us. Okay, tell me, how much work, where does it say in here how much work we have to do? Because if you're in a performance-based mentality, you're continually striving to please God through your efforts. And in your soul, you know you're continually coming up short. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's not living godly in Christ Jesus. Performance has absolutely nothing to do with it whatsoever. That's when I learned this truth I'm bringing to you this morning, it so liberated and so changed me and so set me free. Because I learned this. I place my faith in Him and what He did for me at the cross. And then He sends the Holy Spirit to go to work on me. That's God's program. That's God's program. That is living godly in Christ Jesus. Now, can I tell you something this morning? There's not a one of us men or women that's ever going to be perfect. In this life anyway. It's coming. It's coming, but not in this life. And there's such a facade that so many try to put on. They're so holy and righteous. The only holiness we have is what He gives us. Again, it's not what we do or what we don't do. Our standing with God, living godly in Christ Jesus, is predicated upon faith exclusively, not performance. And man, that grates at the soul of mankind, because mankind wants to think, I did it. I did something of my own volition that pleased Him. I believe Brother Swaggart said it best. That's a definition of religion, is working to please God through human effort. And it's the most powerful drug in the world. It's stronger than cocaine. It's stronger than heroin. Religion is the most powerful drug in the world. And it takes a mighty move of the Holy Spirit on a heart to reach down and pull somebody out of that. Because the thought of, I did it. I did something of my own that made Him happy with me and pleased Him. And you know what? I've told you this before. I could have this church running 2,000 within 6 months. I'll guarantee you I could do it. Now, nobody'd be godly. There wouldn't be no move of the Holy Ghost. You know, I had some of you going for a minute. You thought, wow, Pastor's really got an ego there. He thinks... No, all I would have to do is take the cross out of my preaching, offer some kind of plan or program to convince people that if you do this, God will be happy with you, and appeal to their sin nature, they'll begin to do it, and this church would grow numerically, exponentially. And all we'd have is a big Lions Club, basically. That's most churches in America today. There is no power of the Holy Ghost in them. Because the cross is not being preached. The men are not being taught to live godly in Christ Jesus. They're saying become a warrior of Zebulun or become a knight of Pythias or something like that or a bishop of Bob. I don't know what you want to call it. But that's what the church is offering. But God, who is rich in mercy, hallelujah, has offered us a plan. That'll work anytime, anywhere, in any age, with any people. Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. That's why this Bible tells us, men, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Churches are full of men walking ungodly because their faith is in that program that church has told them. Man, you go through this. I'm trying to recall this one program I saw one time. And it's jumping out of my mind, and I had it in, I left my notes at home today, I had it in my notes, but anyway, it was something like Knights of David or something, it was some wacky name like that. And oh man, as I read over this program, ooh, did it appeal to flesh? Ooh, said, you sign up to become one of these Knights of David in our church, They're going to put your picture on a page and send it to the local paper. Have them print it. You're becoming a knight of David. Woo, boy. Man, don't that appeal to your flesh? And it was all things like that, you know, to keep promoting, you know, the works of the flesh. Not one mention of faith, not one mention of Jesus Christ in it. It was all about this program is going to transform you. That was in a church. That's ungodly. That's why there's so few churches being blessed by God. I want the blessing of God. Whether we run 2 or 2,000, I want the blessing of God. We need the Holy Ghost flowing through this church in our lives like we had Him during this praise and worship service, because that's the only thing that will transform us and change us. And if we lose that, we've lost everything. If we lose that, we've lost it all. There is no godliness. And God is calling men to stand up and live godly in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, and I know the next question might be, Pastor, you read it there in the Psalm. Meditate in the Lord's law day and night. Love His law. That's true. That's right. But you must put that in its proper perspective. Since the death of Christ on the cross, there's only two laws that are in effect right now. The law of sin and death, Romans chapter 8, and the law of liberty of life in Christ Jesus. You're in one or the other. One is ungodly, one is godly. Meditate in that law day and night. The law of liberty in Christ Jesus. In effect, put your faith in Christ and what He did for you at the cross. That's what will keep you living right. As the Holy Spirit flows through your properly placed faith, my Lord, you'll be transformed. You'll be transformed. You'll never be perfect, but there will always be great change going on in your life. And you know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll find yourself wanting to read your Bible. And man, I remember back when I was under performance-based mentality, I would think, and I don't know who came up with this. It's hard telling. Doesn't really matter. But somebody at some point in time, and if you grew up in the Church of God like I did, you heard this, and many of you have some Church of God background. It was you're supposed to pray a half hour a day and read 3 chapters of your Bible and fast 1 time a month. Now, is all that bad? No. But the idea was that if you did these things, you were doing really good. Now, the only problem is, where do you find any of that in here? That's the only issue with it. You see, Satan is a master at taking that which is good. He did it in the garden. What did the woman see? Fruit that was good. He's a master of taking that which is good and liberating in Christ. And if you're not careful, He'll put you under law with good things that are scriptural. You had that one brother a couple years back, Perry Stone. Perry Stone. And I'm not going to mock him, because I would love to, but that's wrong of me. Because I wonder about the man's sexual orientation, to be honest with you. But in any event, that's neither here nor there. If you've watched him very long, you know what I'm talking about. But in any event, he came up with this thing, take communion every day. Take communion every day. Drink communion every day and you'll get healed. Your finances will get blessed. You know, all kind of wonderful things will happen. Communion is a scriptural thing. But we can't put our faith in taking communion. That's the problem with that. He did not offer the cross of Christ. He offered communion. And incidentally, he offered a $39.95 golden communion set with it, if you wanted to order that from him. See what I mean? That's ungodly. And God is raising up. And I believe you men in this church are part of this army. I know you are. You're not here by accident. I want to tell you that. You may think you just wandered here and you know, maybe your wife drug you here or you wandered in off the street or whatever. I'm here to tell you, those of you that are attending this church regularly and made up your mind to do so, the Holy Ghost led you here. And He put you here to put you under this message of liberation of Christ and what He did at the cross to teach you. That's all you need and all you're ever going to need. And the power of the Holy Ghost, there is no greater power. And that power will flow when you put your faith in Him. Meditate on that day
day and night. That's the law of liberty of life in Christ Jesus. Everything else is the law of sin and death. If it's not faith in Christ and what He did at the cross. That's living godly, men. It's not what we... And now, let me tell you this. I feel the Holy Spirit checking me hard here, and I've got to preach here for a moment. If you're out there womanizing, taking drugs, and drinking continually, you can call the name of Jesus all day long, but you're lost and you're not right with God. When you find Jesus Christ and you truly realize what He did for you on that cross, that you deserve to go to hell forever, and that you had no hope of liberating yourself from the sin that had its ugly tentacles around your life, and you realize that when you put your faith in Him, He set you free and delivered you, the Holy Ghost is going to flow into your life, and you're going to be transformed by God's power. You're not going to be the same old drunkard, drug addict, womanizing person that you were. It's real what I'm preaching, and it will work anywhere at any time. It's living godly in Christ Jesus. Man, it's time for us to stand up and to live godly in Christ Jesus. He has called us to do so. Don't measure yourself by that world standard, men, by how many women you may have or how much money you may have or what kind of position you have in life. The world looks at those things, but I want you to, the Lord told me, encourage the men today. How do you think God views you? If your faith is in Christ Jesus, and you've got your faith anchored there, and you're raising your family, and you're living godly before them, you are the biggest blessing to them, than more than they'll ever know, until they get to heaven. That's the greatest thing you can do for your family, is not give them material things or not give them a lot of things of this world. But if you'll live godly in front of them, that is the greatest and highest calling we have as men, is to live godly in Christ Jesus. And it's altogether possible, and it's not hard. And we can't perform to do it. It's by faith. If we try to perform, it'll never get done. But if we put our faith in the right place and allow Him to transform, that work will be done by Him. And it'll be a lasting work then. It won't be something that's 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off, in this program, out that program. That's why this word says, and I'm not even halfway through this, but I feel the Lord leading me to close now. That's why the word said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the counsel of sinners. I need to feel the Holy Spirit prod me to get this across before I close. Give me the words, Lord. Outside of the faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, everything else is ungodly. Thank You, Lord, for the words. Can't make it any simpler than that. Anything outside of faith exclusively in Christ and what He did at the cross is ungodliness. Because He provided, only He could provide, the righteousness that we need, the holiness that we need, the deliverance that we need, the transforming power that we need. Men, that's living godly. You may look at your life this morning, you may think, Pastor, you don't know. I've got a shortcoming here, or I don't do this exactly right, but I'm praying and asking God to work on me. All of us are there. I'm not talking about that. All of us, if we'll be honest, are in that boat. All we can do is submit ourselves to His power and say, Lord, change us, and trust Him to do it. We cannot change ourselves. We're hopeless to do so. That's what sometimes makes this message of the cross, biblical Christianity would be the way to say it also. That's what makes biblical Christianity such a rub to many people. Because it does, this Bible's interpreted correctly and preached correctly, it tells mankind you can do nothing through your own efforts to change your life. And man's full of pride. Man wants to believe, oh, I can though. And we can't. Living godly, men, which is the greatest thing we could do for our nation, for our families, living godly, is simply exclusively placing our faith in Christ and what he did for us at the cross. And then as long as that faith is kept there, listen to this. There will be a continual flow of the Holy Spirit into our lives, even when we're asleep 24/7. And we'll be being changed by the power of God when we're in our sleep. Now, man, I like that kind of program. I don't have to go out and get swords and wear helmets and do dances and all this other kind of stuff. That's ungodliness. Anything instituted by man, hear me on this. If it's instituted by man and implemented by man, it's going to produce flesh. It's going to produce flesh. You know, you can speak in tongues in the flesh. Satanists do it all the time. Speaking in tongues in and of itself is proof of nothing. I believe in speaking in tongues. You heard me do it this morning. I believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But my faith can't be in that. And it has to be instituted by the Holy Spirit. These jokers that tell you, well, just sit down and start speaking in tongues, they're out of their mind. You see, that's man instituted. And that person may speak in tongues, but it's not of the Spirit. Same thing with this dance craze that seems to be permeating the church right now, where people are going to put on all these flowery robes and do all this stuff, you know. That's man instituted. You know, I've seen the Holy Ghost take fat folks like me and his anointing fall on them, and they'll get out and dance in the Spirit like the greatest ballerina you've ever seen. That's the Holy Ghost instituted. But when it's man instituted and you got me in a tutu, it ain't pretty. Do you get what I'm saying? That's ungodliness. And it may look like a show. And you know, we can't compete with the world. They're so much better at putting on a show than we are. They're much more polished. But I don't want a show. I want the power of God when I come to church. I don't want what man can give. I want what he can give. But whilst what he gives will bring life, what he gives will bring victory, what he gives will bring joy, what he gives will transform me into something I ought to be. Hallelujah. That's what I want. That's living godly in Christ Jesus. That's why this Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And if they're counseling you outside of the cross of Christ in any capacity, it's ungodly counsel. You better run from it. God wants us. And when we accept Jesus Christ and put our faith in what he did at the cross exclusively, listen to me now as I close, we get everything the Father has. We get everything the Father has. We become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a beautiful story that I heard some years back. A gentleman was a millionaire, had one of the finest art collections in the known world. He had Picassos and Rembrandts lining the halls of his art gallery. His only son desired to become a Special Forces Green Beret soldier, even though he could have had anything he wanted in life. Due to his father's wealth, he wanted to become a Green Beret. So he joined the Army during the Vietnam era, achieved his goal, became a Green Beret, and a good one. But in the course of the fighting in Vietnam, he jumped on a grenade one day to save three of his buddies that were in a foxhole with him. And one of the boys that was in the foxhole with him had an arm blown off, but he was an artist. And after his discharge from the Army, he had to paint now with his left hand rather than his right. And he painted a picture of this man's son. And it was not a professional picture by any means at all, but it was a portrait of this man's son, because this young man who painted the portrait was so endeared to this son for saving his life by jumping on the grenade. He looked up, this wealthy father, and nervously walked to the door and awkwardly laid the picture, leaned against him, and knocked on the door. And the butler came and he told him who he was. He said, I'm a friend of this man's son, and I've made this portrait of his son. I'd like to give it to him. And when the butler went and told this wealthy gentleman who was at the door, he said, send him in. And the young man came in and showed the father the picture of his son. And the father looked at it and he began to weep. Even though it wasn't anywhere near a tremendous work of art, he had captured the essence of what this man's son was all about. And he said, it's for you, sir. And he said, how much can I give you for it? He said, nothing. It's absolutely free. He said, your boy saved my life when he jumped on that grenade. And the man, the rich man, took this portrait, although it was not professional and it was not pretty. And he took it to his art gallery and he hung it right alongside the Picassos and the Rembrandts. In due course, this rich man passed away and died. And he had very specific annotations in his will on how his estate was to be handled and how it was to be auctioned off. And in the will it said, I want to auction off my entire art gallery. But there were some stipulations in it. He said, the photo or the painting that this young man made of my son has to be the first thing auctioned off. And there were art aficionados from all over the world at this auction, knowing the largesse of this man's art collection, one of the finest in the world. And then, as the auction began, they set on the easel the portrait that was called the son. And he said, I'm going to start the bidding. And the art community began to cry, get that ugly thing out of the way. We want the Picassos. We want to bid on the Rembrandts and the real works of art. But the auctioneer ignored him and said, I must go on with the auction. And then finally on the front row, there was a man who, something in this picture grabbed him, even though he saw, being an art aficionado himself, saw that it was not that great of a painting in terms of great artistic work. But he said, I'll give $100 for it. And the auctioneer said, $100 going once, going twice, sold to the man in the front row, and this entire auction is over. Because in this man's will, he said, whoever takes the son gets the entire collection. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. When we took Jesus, although what he did had to do on the cross was not pretty, it was ugly in the natural realm. But to God the Father, it purchased us all of heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And that's what he's called us to do, men. That's what he's called us to do, women. That makes him happy. Only Jesus pleases God. We need to know that. We can't do it. Only Jesus pleases God. That's why our faith must be in him. We're in Christ. And the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 2, our lives are hidden in him. I love this simple illustration. Christ is this hand. This finger is us. This is what God sees if our faith is in Christ and him crucified. He sees Jesus. And Jesus pleases him. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience. I've held you about 10 minutes longer than I meant to. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I'm going to call all of you men forward. Would you come forward and stand at this altar? If you will. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All of you young men, Austin, you guys, you all can all come, all of you. Don't be shy. I want you all down here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord told me at this altar call to do this. I believe I've tried to explain to you as best I could what living godly is. Bless your family. Bless this world. Bless this nation. And make a choice to live godly. Live godly. Jesus will change us if we'll put our faith in Him. He'll take things out of us that ought not to be there. He'll put things in that should be there. He'll change the desires of our heart. He'll make us what He wants us to be. And we'll become what we far greater than we ever thought we could be in Him. And let me tell you, this world may never know our names. We may never have our name printed in papers or be on the cover of a magazine. But God, who is most important, He's watching us. His eye's on us. And if our faith is in Christ Jesus and we're living godly, there is no greater thing you could ever do or become. No greater thing than to be declared living godly lives. Make your choice today. Live godly in Christ Jesus. Live godly in Christ Jesus. It's not based on your performance. It's based on your faith. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why the cross is so necessary. That's why it can't be overpreached. That's why I remind us of it so often. Because we're so quick to stray from it. Because even those of us who know and understand and love what He did for us on the cross, if we're not careful, that sin nature will still creep up on us and we'll want to do it ourselves. Nobody's above it. Let's make up our minds, Lord, we want to live godly. It's more than anything you could ever give your family. Hear me on what I'm preaching today. The greatest gift you'll ever give your family is to live godly in Christ Jesus. Because then they've got the blessing of God on them. Then the blessing of God's on you and it'll flow down to them. And I'm not saying your kids will never stray from the Lord or anything like that at all, but I'm here to tell you this. This is power I'm preaching about this morning. They'll never forget their godly dad. If they choose to rebel and go against everything they've been taught, they'll never get away from seeing Jesus in you. I know what I'm talking about. And He'll pull them back. He'll pull them back if you'll keep praying and believing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Live godly. Walk not. Don't judge your life by the standards of the ungodly, men. It'd be very easy for us to do that. But the standards of this world, what did this word say? We read about them this morning. It said the ungodly is like chaff in the wind. Look at where Howard Hughes wound up. 9-inch long nails, sitting curled in a corner, smelly and dirty, with a beard down to his waist, wrapped in an old dirty sheet. The richest man in the world! And everything he had blew away like chaff in the wind. Godliness in Christ Jesus with contentment is great gain, the Bible says. I feel the Holy Spirit pressing me. Let's live godly in Christ Jesus, men. The greatest gift we'll ever give to our families in this world. And one day in the portals of glory, maybe not in this life, but one day in the portals of glory, we're going to hear Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. That's the day we need to be looking toward. That's the day we need to measure ourselves by. Would you all stretch forth your hands toward these men? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I pray you'll take these few halting words we've spoke today and drive them home to all of our hearts as men. Lord, help us not to judge our lives and our standard of living by the world's standard. For the world would tell us to be men that we have to drink, we have to cheat on our wives, we have to abandon our children and not be there for them. Oh Lord, that's not being a man. That's the farthest thing from being a man. But Lord, if we live godly in you, if we'll place and keep our faith in you, Jesus, and what you did for us at the cross, there will be a continual flow of your Holy Spirit into our lives, changing us, transforming us into Christ-likeness. And that is what we desire. And Lord Jesus, I just pray for these men today that you will so impact their lives with this message. They'll never forget it, that it will be indelibly inscribed upon their lives, that when they see on TV the things the world tells them is manly and successful, that they'll remember this message today and they'll think, no, I'm successful and I'm manly because I'm living godly in Christ Jesus. And that's the greatest gift I'll ever give my wife, my children, and this nation and this world. Thank you, Lord. Inscribe that on our minds, Lord. Bless these men. Lord, sanctify our minds as a work of your Holy Spirit. For, Lord, we as men in particular are being inundated in this day and age with sexual promiscuity and sexual ads at every turn in every corner. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit can our minds be kept holy and clean. Sanctify us today, Lord Jesus. Make us godly men. And help us to live godly in you. The greatest gift we'll ever give our families. And that's what pleases you when we live godly in you. Bless them, Lord, and their families, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I want to thank you, fathers, for living godly in Christ Jesus. As I said, you may not be on magazine covers, you may not be on CNN, but you're doing the greatest thing you could ever do for your families. And one day, we'll get our reward in heaven where it'll be eternal and won't be like chaff blowing away like everything this whole world has to offer has. Let's give Jesus Christ a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, guys, we got a little gift for you this morning with it being Father's Day. Not much. It's brand new Cadillacs and don't know. No, if we could, I would, but we can't do that. But we do have a lovely Swiss Army knife for you that we'd like to give as a what do they call that on the game shows? Not a consolation gift. Yeah, we have these lovely Swiss Army knives we'd like to give all you guys, and we'll be giving those out at the back door. I'm going to ask one of Debbie. Would you come dismiss us in prayer today? I didn't mean to traumatize you there, Deb. Thank you. God bless you. It's been great to be in God's house with you this morning. You guys go out and have a great Father's Day. Amen.